But the title of tonight's message, Come Ye Yourselves Apart. Come ye yourselves apart. This is the invitation of Jesus to his disciples. Let's go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And let's go to verse 31. Mark chapter 6. And then verse 31. And we'll read that verse and then we'll ask the Lord's blessing on the message. And the Word of God says, And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house. Thank you, Father, for the ever open door invitation to your throne room that we can exercise the privilege. Even tonight, as we come to the throne of mercy and power and grace, Lord, what a joy. Thank you, Father, we can assemble tonight, Lord. What a privilege. And so, Father, we thank you for the word that we read, Lord, that you are a living God, Lord, that you are a present Savior. And so, Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and mercy to us. Help us, Lord, to come ourselves apart and rest, to rest physically, but beyond that, more importantly, to rest spiritually in you. And we love you, Father. Thank you for this time that we can come together in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ here telling his disciples. Now, they were pretty excited, okay? Just to put it in context, they had just come back from their first, if you wish, mission that Jesus had sent them out by twos. He sent the 12 up by pairs and gave them power to heal, power over spirits. Now, he told them to not take anything either. Okay, so they were living by faith. And really depending on the generosity of those that would receive them. And it went very well. Okay, they were just on cloud nine. They come back. Now, they were excited. They were also pretty exhausted because it's been a long, kind of a long trip. And so Jesus is telling his disciples to kind of take a time out. Take a time out from their busy lives and just rest, reset, and refuel. Okay, just to recharge. And so a couple of thoughts that kind of got me thinking. Because we'll see how the disciples respond to that. In fact, later on, Jesus had constrained them to really get in the ship. No, you like it or not, you're going to rest, okay? And it kind of got me thinking because I get excited like anyone else, and especially when things are busy, when there's a lot to be done, when things are going well, okay? You want to just kind of keep on going. But number one, rest is essential. Rest is essential. And so that's the first point. In fact, I'm going to spend maybe the bulk of the message on point number one, to emphasize that rest is essential because, just in my observation, even my own self in examining myself, rest is also the most overlooked, okay? And so it is absolutely essential, but is the most overlooked from that standpoint. And if I truly get it, just how important and necessary and a blessing rest is, the other points kind of fall into place. And so certainly this applies to all Christians, to rest in the Lord, okay? Not just the spiritually weak, okay? Not just, resting is for babies, okay? I'm a man of God. I don't know. These are the disciples, okay? Just to put in context, they came back from casting out wicked spirits. They came back from healing. They came back by living by faith. I mean, they were doing it for the kingdom of God. They were preaching the gospel. And so they were on fire for God. And so they were certainly laborers for the Lord. They weren't babes in Christ. Yet Jesus told them to, hey, guys, come apart. Just time out yourselves. And let's rest. And so rest is again, it's not just for the weak. In fact, it's for all of us. In fact, you can even make the case that it's especially for those that are laboring. The more you labor, you really need to rest, okay? But this is huge. In fact, Jesus, John chapter 4, he rested himself, right? He was weary. He rested by the well side. I mean, we know that story. And so it's a mindful thing to be thankful for the rest that Jesus gives us. Rest, again, you think of downtime. Now, not to be mistaken with idle time, okay? Idle, of course, meaning, lazy, unproductive, wasting time, not doing anything. And resting, on the other hand, would be like refueling, recharging, okay? Healing, if you're like me now, most of us, we all have our phones, right? Like charging our phone, right? If the battery is low, I got to do what? All of us, we have to charge it. It's not the same as letting the phone stay idle, right? If the phone is low on battery and I just let it idle, it's not charging, not doing anything. It's just wasting more battery. No, not much, but it's still wasting more battery. And so the idea is when we are tired, We need to rest. Okay, not idle. Idle is not, no, we're not talking about being idle. We're talking about resting. Just like you can think of, gassing up your car, changing the oil. This is not idling. This is doing what's necessary to keep it going, right? And the idea is resting for Christians, you and I, my friends, is absolutely critical. It is a huge, huge necessity in maintaining our spiritual well-being, our walk with God, and in us fighting the good fight. In fact, if you look at any war that's fought, doesn't matter what era, proper rest, proper supplies is one of the most, even without it, okay, without rest and proper supplies, even the most powerful army would collapse over time from just sheer exhaustion. Okay, you gotta replenish your troops, you gotta feed them, take care of them, make sure they can sleep. Otherwise, they might be on good on day one, but on day two, they're gonna go way down if they're doing it all nighter. Okay, so your troops have to be nourished, they have to rest, and so this certainly applies to us in this spiritual fight. We both need physical rest, even though we think, God did make sleep for us as the intended process for us to heal our bodies. And when we sleep, I'm talking physically, okay? Not talking about spiritual slumber, okay? We gotta wake up, okay? It's high time, okay? But to sleep and rest physically, even when we do that, okay? God designed our bodies so that we have tissue repair and regeneration happens when we're sleeping, especially during the deep phases, stages of sleep, hormonal balances, including reducing of cortisol, that's a stress hormone. And so you and I, we handle stress better when we sleep sufficiently, okay? Increase blood flow to muscles, again, mostly from the deep stages of sleep. Brain functions, I need this, okay? Brain functions improve when we sleep enough, okay? Our brain undergoes its own maintenance. That, again, God set this up. We don't have to do anything. We just got to sleep, but God takes care of it. Our brain undergoes maintenance while we sleep. Waste products from the brain are removed from our brain. Memories are consolidated. Okay, and this is God's way for allowing us to just be able to deal with it, deal with life. Okay, so sleep is, we cannot understate how important. I cannot overstate how important sleep is. And then of course spiritual rest. Spiritual rest would be the spiritual peace, the comfort that we get by trusting in God, confiding in Him in prayer, meditating on God's word, i.e. a lot of what we do during a midweek service, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. And again, as our spiritual oasis during the wilderness week, it's a blessing for us to come ye apart ourselves. That's what we're doing here tonight. This is huge. When we come to church, we are literally removing ourselves apart from the world. When you look at what Jesus is telling his disciples here in verse 31, he's not just saying, from a standpoint of standards, okay, he's not just saying a mindset. When Jesus says in verse 31, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, don't have to overthink it. Don't have to go back and study the Greek, okay? He's just meaning it literally. Follow me, guys. Let's get away from the crowd. I mean, this is what he's saying, okay? Go to where you won't find the people. Yes, it might be a desert place, okay? It's not the hubbub of the city. But this is where we'll find rest. Okay, so Jesus is literally telling his disciples, come with him, but they're literally going to go to a place where they can rest. When we come together for our midweek service, we are literally coming out of the world. We're literally assembling here together. It is a wonderful thing. Now, Jesus says to his disciples, come what? Not come thou, is come ye. Ye is plural. So he's talking to his disciples. This is huge because Jesus is not dismissing them. Now, there's 12 of them, and they came back again in pairs of twos. He is not dismissing them to go individually to their solitary hideouts. That's not what he's saying. He's telling them to, as a group of 12, my 12, let's separate from the world and rest together. Rest together with who? Look at verse 32. And they, who's the they? It includes Jesus. It was 12 of them before in pairs of two. Now they come back to Jesus to report to him. They're all excited. And Jesus wants them to come away from everyone else they were preaching the gospel to. They were witnessing to the lost. That's fantastic. So now they are amongst brethren with the Lord. I want you guys to come to me. And the 13 of us, okay, that's the they, departed into a desert place by ship, what? Privately. Now, I'm always blessed if anyone wants to come to any church service. That's a joy, of course. Praise God. But church is for the worship of the Lord by his people. And it's a blessing when we come to our midweek service that we literally come out of the world. It may not to say this is a desert place. Okay, the idea is we come together here to find rest. To find rest. And spiritual rest. Remember Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 24, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Absolutely, it's for salvation. But it's also for daily living. And rest is in trusting the Lord, communing with God through prayer, hearing His word. This is exactly what we do on midweek service. And how big a blessing is our midweek service? Well, remember Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in His name. And so as we come together, two or three, more of us, in the name of Jesus, Jesus is in the midst of us. Now, this is huge, because when Jesus said that, He wasn't just being figuratively speaking. He was speaking literally. And I can't overexpress how much in awe I am that Jesus would be with us, literally, with the spiritual presence of our Lord. This is huge. Remember, literal is not just physical. Literal is physical, but literal is also spiritual, as it also can be like emotional, right? Someone can say, it's not just what you can see, touch, and feel with your senses. That's physical, okay? But literal can be spiritual, as it can be emotional. I could say, I am literally so angry right now. Okay, you can't see it, okay, but I'm truly angry, okay? And so when Jesus says He's here, it is His literal, spiritual presence. I mean, that's huge. We literally get to hear the Word of God, just as the disciples did here. They come apart themselves with Jesus and departed by ship privately, okay? They were physically with Jesus. They were literally with Jesus, same thing as we do every service. They got to hear God's Word just as we do now. We literally get to pray to the Lord, Lord willing, in agreement, right? Jesus says when two or three are in agreement, you know, then it will be done, which can't happen privately. It has to be done when we come together. Rest allows us to reset, not just recharge. I need to recharge. We need to get our batteries recharged, and hopefully our midweek service recharges us to do that. But rest allows us to also reset, kind of self-examine, realign where necessary. And I think of realigning, I think of maybe tires, realigning the tires or maybe the steering. You know, in fact, I remember when I was a new Christian serving there in our home church in Eau Claire, and we would do the van route, and I would drive. And the pastor's son, who pastors now, and he was, you know, we kind of took turns. But when you drive the van, I think to go straight, you had to hold the steering wheel at like a 1 o'clock. You know, this is straight. It was an old van, okay? But we used it, and that was a blessing. But that was kind of an inside joke, you know, this is straight, you know. And so probably need a realignment, okay? But the idea is, as we come to the house of the Lord, as we rest. Resting not just recharges our batteries, doesn't just refuel us for the war, but it also allows us to realign where needed, right? I mean, how am I going this week? It's been a rough week, and oh, I should have done this. And so as we get alone time with God, it is a wonderful thing. So rest is absolutely, number one, essential. And then number two, we notice that rest is also intentional, meaning it takes effort to do it. It won't just, which is sometimes you might think, well, that sounds a little what is the word? Ironic, I guess you can say, because it takes effort to rest. But the idea is that it won't happen automatically. Okay, the disciples had to come apart. They had to actually move physical distance with Jesus privately in the ship to get to that rest. Okay, so it takes effort for us, just like the disciples, to come apart into a desert place. But that is where they found the rest. I mean, and you know, it's a blessing to come to church. I understand it takes, quote-unquote, effort to be here, okay, but this is where, Lord willing, we find spiritual rest. But it is, after all, a matter of, think of it as a matter of perspective, okay? So if I had Packers tickets, I get to watch the game, but guess what? It's going to take me effort to get to the field, like, oh, I got to go there. I don't know. Of course you'll go, the idea, right? And so, or if, I don't know, maybe you win the Powerball, but you know what? It's going to take effort to get to the main office, to cash a ticket. So like, I don't know if I want to spend that effort to go to... No, of course you will. You know, what I'm saying is, it's if we are truly blessed by what it takes to rest in the Lord, to congregate around Him, to praise Him in song, it wouldn't be about the effort. I always try to encourage my children, it's not that we have to go to church. We get to go to church. It is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. I look forward to it, tired and all, because I do come here to rest. I hope you do too. You know, if you look at verse 45, same Mark chapter 6, this is how intentional rest needs to be. Jesus had to force his disciples, of course, look at verse 45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. Okay, this was after the feeding of the multitude. And it's like, okay, guys, you guys, now we got to go. We really got to go. And then, of course, Jesus, let me just read the rest of this here. And to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And so do we understand what's going on here? Of course, they wanted to rest. People being people, they knew, they spotted where Jesus was going, hey, he's over there, get him. And so, you know, everyone like ants, you know, you kind of just, they kind of chased him down. In fact, they even got ahead of him in a boat. And so they're right there. And then, of course, they want to be by Jesus. And Jesus ends up, by compassion, he loves them, he takes care of the needs, he feeds them. And then even then at the end, Jesus tells the disciples, guess what? I still want you to rest. Get back in the boat. I'll cover you. Right? Jesus says, I'll cover you. You guys make for the boat. I'll dismiss the crowd. I'll cover you. And then I'll catch up to you later. Which, of course, he comes walking on the sea. Okay, but the idea is this is how intentional it had to be for Jesus to make sure the disciples would rest, okay? Make it a routine. Sunday service, of course, as we worship the Lord the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection. But midweek services are awesome. You make it a habit, make it part of our routine as much as possible, like anything else that we do on a routine basis. You know, when we come here, it literally forces us to peel ourselves away from the world, to come here to rest with the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. Rest is essential, it's intentional, and number three, it is continual. It's ongoing things. If you look at verse 33, picking up where we left off, verse 33, and so they're trying to depart privately by ship. Okay, they're trying to be incognito, okay? Doesn't work. Look at verse 33. And the people saw them. Oh, busted. People saw them departing, and many knew him. They're like, hey, that's Jesus. He's the miracle guy. Let's go get him. And ran afoot thither out of all cities. Boy, I don't know how. Boy, maybe they got Instagram or maybe they sent some tweets or whatever. But somehow everyone got in to know, and everyone, hook by crook, they were coming up from all cities. They were rendezvousing and went and outwent them. And so they realized where they were going, and they were waiting there when Jesus shows up. Okay, and came together onto him. The busyness of life pictured by these people. Okay, now nothing wrong on their part. But the demands for you and I, the busyness in our life is going to keep coming. Like waves crashing in. Okay, I don't mean to burst your bubble. Okay, but it's always going to be there. If we don't intentionally take time to rest, it's not going to happen. This is huge. Because if I say, I'll just wait till the waves stop crashing in, then I'll just take some time and rest with my Lord. You'll never spend time in prayer with God. If we say, I'll just wait for a little downtime for me to get right with God, I'll never get right with God. You have to understand it's essential. I got to. Think of us like maybe you feel like your phone and you're on the safety mode, power save mode or something. I think the battery is green, you know, when it's right away down. You know, it's yellow and it becomes red or whatever. And at some point, it just dies, right? When you're out of battery, and it just dies. You don't want to be so worn out. Someone says, hey, are you there? Okay, unless we understand how essential rest is, we're not going to rest. And then we have to intentionally take steps to rest. And then it's not one and done. That's another thing. Wouldn't it be something else if your phone was going dead? You plugged it in once, and then you don't ever have to plug it in ever again. I mean, that'd be kind of cool. But that's not how it is. And so, yes, it's good that we rest once. That's great. But it's an ongoing thing. The busyness of life keeps encroaching in, just like these people, okay? And Jesus, of course, praise the Lord, as our blessed Savior. He was moved with compassion. He fed the multitude. But then after that, all right, disciples, back in the boat. We got to keep resting. You got to keep pursuing it. And by the way, don't miss the context. The idea that they had to continually rest goes hand in hand with the truth that they were continually laboring. They're continually laboring for the Lord. Labor, rest, right? We pump up our vehicle, drive miles, pump it up again, right? And so, and then keep going for the kingdom of God. Let's go to Psalm 23, the Psalm of the Great Shepherd. But Psalm 23, resting in the Lord. And but again, it's a daily thing. It's not just a one and done. The shepherd leads his flock every day. In fact, more than once a day. I mean, for every meal. And so it's an ongoing thing. And so it's not just, oh, I rested. Yeah, back in 2007. It's every week, right? Every week we rest. Every Sunday we worship. Every midweek service we rest. Verse 1, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The context is as much as we are following him, okay? Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Who wants to lie down? I want to lie down. I'm tired. I want to lie down in green pastures. I want to rest where my Lord brings me. Trust in him. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Boy, we can go like, well, that sounds good. That sounds refreshing. Well, literally verse 3, he restoreth my soul. That's resting in the Lord. He recharges, refuels us, right? He restores our soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yes, we are fighting a good fight. We are in a spiritual warfare. I get that. But when you read the context of verse 1, 2, 3, it's about resting. It's about resting in the Lord. It's a daily thing because it's talking about a shepherd, you know, feeding his flock. And that happens multiple times a day. Amen. Rest is essential. It's intentional. It's continual. We need to come apart and rest a while in Jesus. And our midweek service, I don't know, praise God, it's a perfect way to do that. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought, Lord. And I thank you so much again for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, just for your simple instructions to the disciples to come apart, Lord. And I'm thankful that we are here tonight, Lord, that we've come apart, Lord. And so now help us by faith and obedience to just rest in you, just trust in you, Lord, and eat just as you were literally physically with the disciples back in Mark 6, Lord, we are also literally spiritually with you, Lord, even here. That is just a mind-blowing truth, Lord, that we can literally still hear your word. We can literally still talk to you, all in a spiritual context, but it's literal nonetheless. And so, Father, what a joy. Help us to trust in you, rest in you. Help us to rest physically, but also rest spiritually by always coming and staying and abiding in you, Lord. Thank you for this sweet time of prayer. Father, help us to pray in unison, in agreement. Help us to always purpose to seek your kingdom. And help us to be mindful of the necessity to rest in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.